Welcome to Random Bible Thoughts with Russ, a moment in the Word. Today's moment in the Word, we're going to continue in John. And we are at John 29. John 1, not 1 John, but John 1. And I know the past few videos I've been saying 1 John. I don't know how many times, but it's John 1, chapter 1, verse 29. This is subtitled in the ESV, the English Standard Version. I think probably most versions have the same subtitle. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Okay. And there's a lot here. There really is. There's a lot here. I got some notes here. And so we got more scripture to look at besides just this portion. So it might be a couple moments in the Word, not just a moment in the Word. Anyways, hey, that's what this is all about. Let's get into God's Word, see what it says, and learn from it. John chapter 1, verse 29 through 34. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Now, there's a few interesting things in here. Some of it will be a little speculation on my part. He said, this is what God's Word says to me. I'm not a theologian. I don't have a seminary degree. I have been reading God's Word a long time, and so I think I can understand it. And quite frankly, I just like to go look at the simple truth of God's Word. I don't like getting into the denominational understanding. What does God's Word say, plain, true, and simple, and what it means to me? So, the first part here I want to get into is, you know, yesterday I read in the scripture prior to this that John said, "There is one who stands among you whom you do not know." I thought that was interesting. Was Jesus standing with them, and it wasn't known, or just was he in the area? Well, this is the next day. The next day, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I wanted to take a look at that a little bit. I have some notes here that I scratched out. Let's take a look at 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19. I actually kind of have Peter bookmarked here. So, 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 through 19. "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." All right. Sin. How is sin taken away? How is sin covered? You know, in the Old Testament days, prior to Christ, they had sacrifices, a spotless thing, a spotless lamb, bull, goat, whatever, depending on what the sin was and how much money they had. Could they afford a goat or was it a pigeon? Now, anyway, it was a spotless animal that was killed, and it covered your sin, but it did not do away with your sin. Christ, the spotless lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, is the spotless lamb. Your sins, your ransom didn't get paid with silver or gold. It got paid by the blood of Jesus Christ, a spotless lamb. Okay, now let's look at Genesis 22:8. And I know what Genesis 22:8 is, but I'm going to go ahead and read it anyways, because I think there might be a couple verses I want to add to that or read to keep it in its full context here. One more page, I believe. Okay, this is when God told Abraham. Was he still called Abraham yet? Yeah, he was. God told Abraham, take Isaac to Mount Moriah, I think it is, or something like that, and sacrifice him. Sacrifice his one and only son that he loved. And so, when they, Abraham and some of his attendants, they trekked off to this location, and when they saw the place, after 3 days, they saw the place where to sacrifice. Abraham said, you guys stay here while we go up to worship and come back to you. And that's an interesting thought. He said, come back to you. He didn't say, and I will come back to you. He said, until we come back to you. So I think Abraham knew, was pretty confident, that he wouldn't have to actually sacrifice his son. But here's what 22 says. I lost my place. Well, that's... Oh. Well, I'm looking for verse 20, chapter 22, verse 8. Okay. And starting at 7. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father, he said, here am I. Here am I, my son, he said. Oh, okay. Isaac said to his father, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the firewood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both together. All right. So Abraham was confident that God was going to provide his own sacrifice for whatever they're sacrificing for. He just told him to go and sacrifice. He didn't say what it was for, that I can recall. But anyways, they went and sacrificed. And he said, do not... Oh, okay, here. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife. Okay, Abraham bound Isaac, put him on the wood. And Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord, this is a specific angel, the angel of the Lord, called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And that's interesting there. I just caught that. That the angel of the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hands on your son. I see now that you fear God and you have not withheld your son from me. But this is the angel of the Lord speaking. Why would the angel of the Lord say, you have not held your son from me, instead of you have not held your son from the Father or from God? Something to that effect. Why? The angel of the Lord. This is considered a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. We know Christ is God. Or some might say it's a manifestation of God, appearance of God in a form that can be seen, called a theophany. The other is called a Christophany. Both are, I believe, pretty much basically the same. So the angel of the Lord is telling Abraham not to lay your hands on your son. I see that you fear God and you have not withheld him from me. An angel wouldn't say that. You don't sacrifice to angels. You sacrifice to God. So I just saw that. I hadn't noticed that before. So that's just my opinion. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind only some from me. Behind him was a ram caught in the thicket in the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So again, God provided. So the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world is the sacrifice, Jesus Christ, that God provided. God provided his own sacrifice. Okay. And you can also see that in 22:8, Abraham called that place God the Provider, or Jehovah Jireh, God provides. God provided his own sacrifice. Then we got who takes away the sins of the world. Who takes away the sins of the world? Go to 1 John 3:5. And this time it is 1 John. 1 John 3:5. And I'll get there in a minute. Come on, pages turn. Oh, what's going on here? Oh, too far now. 1 John 3:5. Like I said, I did a little more study on this because when I was reading, I'm thinking there's way too much information here just to nonchalantly kind of like go through it. 1 John 3:5. And what does that say? Well, that's 5. I don't want 5:3. I want 3:5. And I'll probably start a little bit before then. Okay, let's start at verse 3. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning, also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins. In him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. And no one who keeps on sinning has either him or has known him. All right, I'm going to stop there. Just to back up here a little bit in verse 5. It says, you know that he, that is Jesus Christ, appeared to take away sins. So the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In 1 John there, we have, he takes away sins. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews, where are you? I know it's here somewhere. There we go. Hebrews 10. And everything I read out of, unless I state otherwise, is out of the ESV, the English Standard Version. Hebrews 10, 4 through 10. Well, this also talks about the sacrifice thing that I was telling you about. You know, bulls and goats don't forgive sin. It might cover your sin back then, prior to Christ, but it does not take away your sin. Okay, Hebrews 4:10 through. Hebrews 10, verse 4 through 10. For it is impossible, here it is, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into this world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said the above, you have neither desire nor pleasure to take in sacrifices or offerings or burnt offerings or sin offerings. These are offered according to the law. They were offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first the law in order to establish the second, Christ. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now, the law didn't really just go away, but when Christ came, we weren't bound by the law. We weren't bound by, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. We're now, Christ came, and because Christ came, he did away with being bound by the law, and we are now in grace. So when we're in grace, if we mess up, if we sin, we have an advocate before the Father in heaven. We have an advocate for the Father in heaven. So in grace, we mess up. We don't have to go kill one of our livestock to get forgiveness or to cover our sin. We just ask for it. Ask for it with a pure heart, that is, and a truly repentant heart. Just because you mess up, go, oh, darn it. Heavenly Father, forgive me. And maybe that can be. You know, especially if it's just a nonchalant slip of the tongue. I don't know. I don't know how to really explain it. But we're, because of Christ, we're in grace. We're not bound by the law. So he takes away the sins of the world. And what did I say at the end? And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once and for all, there's no more sacrifices that need to happen because he takes away the sins of the world. Okay, John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever believes in him will not perish and have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. The world might be saved through him. We come to Christ, and we will have life eternal. We come to, he saves us, he picks up. Bulls and goats can't save you. I read that. Bulls and goats can't save you. But Jesus Christ can. Okay, another John scripture. Another John scripture, 4, chapter 4, verse 42. Chapter 4, verse 42. 4? Oh, okie dokie. I wonder if I could go up a little bit further here. Okay, okay, this is about the Samaritan woman that when she met Christ, he was telling her everything about her, everything she knew, had done, you know, and so he was speaking about her, and she went back to the village, and she was telling everybody, and people were believing. In verse 42, they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. We know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Excuse me. So again, we have, you know, Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. She told them, and they heard stuff that Jesus was saying. And they believed that he was indeed the Savior of the world, or he is indeed the Savior of the world. So Jesus came that the world might be saved. Alright. Alright, let's go on here. This is who I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. Like I said yesterday, I think that's kind of a way of John saying that he pre-existed before I did. Because in age-wise, John is older than Jesus by about 6 months. So if he came before me, is he saying, and this is my opinion, that he is eternal that he is eternal. Here's an interesting, I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. I myself did not know him. Well, he met Jesus when he was still in the womb. When Mary appeared to Elizabeth, he leapt for joy. Filled with the Spirit, leapt for joy. And they were family, they were cousins. So I kind of wonder, and I've said this yesterday, I think, you know, was there a family time, when a holiday that they maybe celebrated, that they came together as a family? And that could be. But if that is indeed, and he says that I didn't know him, it may be that he didn't know who he was as far as being the Christ, the Savior of the world in that respect. I don't think Jesus went around doing what he did when he started his ministry as a child. I don't believe it. There's a gospel out there that, Gospel of Thomas, I think it is, considered an apocryphal book or a hidden book, that talks about Jesus' childhood. And if you read that, he was a monster. I don't believe that is inspired word of God. I don't believe it's a true book of the Bible. We don't have a whole lot on his childhood. So, anyways, I did not know him. I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel and bore witness. I said, okay, let me stop before I go there. Like yesterday, I mentioned this yesterday, and I think maybe even the day before, really, John's purpose in life was to prepare the way of the people of Israel for Christ's appearance, to make his path, to make the path straight for the people to come to Christ. John was the forerunner of Christ, preaching repentance and baptizing for repentance. So, anyways, so John was one who makes the way straight, prepares the way. Let me take a look. I got a verse written down there. Luke 1:17. Luke 1:17. Excuse me. Book of chapter 1 of Luke is pretty big. Here we go, Luke 1:17. And he will turn many of children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit of power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the fathers of children disobedient to the wisdom of that just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So that was John's job. He went before the Lord to make it ready, a people prepared for his appearance, his ministry. All right, I want to go, let's see, and John bore witness, I saw a spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him, on whom you see the spirit descend and remain. This is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have bore witness that this is the Son of God. Let's go to Matthew 3:13. I'm probably going to go a little bit before that. Yeah, 3:13 through 17. 3:13 through 17. And I believe this is the same day that I'm about to read here. As in this part in John that I'm currently reading, that we're currently going through. When you have these four gospels here, what's it called? Synoptic gospels. They all seem to have the same events going, but sometimes they give a different narrative of the event, because that's how the Holy Spirit inspired them to read. In John here, it doesn't say anything about Jesus being baptized, but he says, I saw the Spirit come down upon him. So I believe these are two of the same events. In Matthew 3:13-17, then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. What's really neat about this particular part of Scripture, and I believe there might be other scriptures too that say the same basic thing, is here we have the Trinity. You have the Jesus the Son being baptized, he's there. You have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit coming down in what looks like a dove and resting upon him. The Holy Spirit's there. Then you have God the Father saying, this is my Son, who I am well pleased. This is my Son, who I am well pleased. That's the Trinity. That's the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All are one. You have three persons in one. One doesn't. I don't believe one will survive without the other. They all work together. One God, three persons, personages of God. And I believe that's what we're going to stop with right there. This has already been a moment of word plus. Moment of word plus. We're at 27 second minutes now. But what I'd like to say, and you can kind of hear it in my voice sometimes. Sometimes I get a little passionate. I understand, I feel and understand what God did for me. And sometimes when I'm talking about it, and it just, my emotions overwhelm me. I don't know where I would be if Christ did not save me. He has come to take away your sins, my sins, the sins of the world. John 5:24 says, truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has eternal life. Not condemned, you are crossed over from death to life. For in Christ there is no condemnation. Alright? Hope you've enjoyed tonight's moment in the Word, or time span in the Word. If you like my video, please give me a like. If you please subscribe, hit that little button down below there and subscribe to my videos. You can also hear me on Spotify and many other podcast platforms, on YouTube, on my YouTube channel. It's all under Random Bible Thoughts with Russ. And that is, if you'd like to send me an email, melchizedeklikechrist@gmail.com. melchizedeklikechrist@gmail.com. That is today's Moment in Word. God bless.